Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and the Word is the Way to Life broadcast. We're still studying Solomon, the old man that had been given the wisdom that goes beyond most ordinary people, and what he done with it and what he has come to the conclusions with it. And today we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verses 1 through 11. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. He said, dead flies will cause even a bottle of perfume to stink. Yes, an ounce of foolishness can outweigh a pound of wisdom and honor. The hearts of the wise lead them to do right, and the hearts of the foolish lead them to do evil. You can identify fools just by the way they walk down the street. And if your boss is angry with you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. There is another evil that I have seen, and I have watched the world go by. Kings and rulers make a grave mistake. If they give foolish people great authority, and if they fail to give people a proven worth, their rightful place of dignity, I have even seen servants riding like princes and princes walking like servants. So when you dig a well, you may fall in it. When you demolish an old wall, you could be bitten by a snake. When you work in a quarry, stones might fall and crush you. When you chop wood, there's a danger with each stroke of the axe, such as the risk of life. Since a dull axe requires great strength, sharpening the blade, that's the value of wisdom. It helps you to succeed. Verse 11. It does no good to charm a snake after it has bitten you. Well, he certainly has a lot there to think about when it comes to this wisdom thing and decisions that we make almost every waking moment of our life. In the second half of chapter 10 could possibly be translated this way. A little folly is more valuable than wisdom and honor. I think Solomon points is that sometimes believe they are choosing a wise and honorable course when in reality they're committing themselves to folly. Now wisdom is often ignored and undermined, not least because some people are skilled at passing off bad ideas as good ones. Well, I think this is the point that Solomon's trying to make, which can be translated this way. A man stinks with flies of death. He gushes forth scented oil. Well, some people can gush forth words so persuasively that they convince others that black is white and that garbage smells like roses. But I think this is a recipe for disaster as we look at Solomon. For the wise person and the fools are going in opposite directions, one towards blessing and the other toward ruin. Now, the teacher's also saying, I think that anyone with any sense can see that the fool is on the wrong road, but not fools themselves and those that they have persuaded to follow them. Such behavior multiplied across human societies affecting national leadership is the source of much evil in the world, with wars and misguided economic policies and unjust and discriminatory laws and so on and so on. And you know the drill, I think. But the teacher is now directly addressing the issue of national leadership. Can be read as teaching for countries, government, advisors on how to conduct themselves in the royal court, so to speak. Now, we don't have a kingship. We have a constitutional republic, but we still have people that get into positions and they need to know how to handle things, basically, you know? Well, some of them do pretty good, some of them not so good. Amen? Now, the teacher is addressing the topic in very plain language in verses 8 through 11. And to do so, he used a series of telling metaphors. Ecclesiastes 10:4 through 7 sets out the problem. rulers who cannot tolerate disagreement, and leaders who make bad appointments, such as the wrong people that have power and wealth. And then under such a regime, countries and all the other things, they have a thankless role. Their attempts to guide the ruler may wisely backfire and cost them dearly. Their task is like digging pits and dismantling stake-infested walls and quarry stones and splitting logs, and hard and potentially dangerous work. I think no matter what we do in this life is a little dangerous, the work that we get, but sometimes it's hard and potentially dangerous, isn't it, what we do as a vocation? But also I think he's saying it is necessary, like someone using a blunt axe, and that's a good analogy. You know, a dull axe doesn't chop very good, does it? So sharpen it. Where do we get that wisdom from? Well, we get it from God. And he says they cannot achieve nearly as much as they would like with a dull axe, but with persistence and wisdom, they can accomplish something by stopping and sharpening the axe. You see, I think all of us have become skilled in charming other people. We all have the gift of gab. Some of us do it a little better than others, but we all have that gift. And that skill of trying to convince somebody against their will leaves them of the same opinion still. Solomon says, like charming a snake, exerting subtle influence on the king and learning how to placate the ruler's wrath when necessary. Well, folly can do great harm, as we know, but we're not utterly helpless. A wise person, particularly one in a position of influence, can sometimes avert evil, even in the flawed and unsatisfactory world that we live in. Amen. Well, we're getting closer to chapter 12 when Solomon is going to lay out what he has learned through all this, and he's come to a great conclusion. But think about what he was talking about being forewarned and forearmed. Now, how did today's passage illustrate that proverb? You know, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes written very similarly, but perhaps in our Christian circle of friends includes government, the minister, and civil servants, and we have all of those around us in and out of the church and in government and everything. But my question for all of us is, have we talked to them about what their position involves, this position in life? And, you know, have you asked them how you may pray for them? You know, not everybody is a pastor or that kind of leader, but anybody that's leading something, that's not bold, I don't think. And, you know, when you're done talking with them and so forth, may we pray, or may I pray for you? I think it's an important thing to think about how we can help one another in this thing called life. Amen. Well, this is also a segment that we close with the Lord's Prayer as we come into a prayer of agreement with and for. And I think it's important that we kind of just sometimes think about our relationship with God and how we can help one another. Simple little thing of helping is just befriending or even asking a simple thing. You know, may I pray with you and for you as you seek God's grace and wisdom in your life? I think Jesus, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, when they realized that he talked to the Father a lot, and they wanted to know how to do that. And he said, well, you know, it's just like talking. You know, you go and you lay out your plans or your needs and so forth. And so let me give you a model prayer to do that with. And this is a model, and you use it for an outline for all of your prayers to line up with as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I hope and pray you have a wonderful day. And remember, the Word is the way to life. Jesus Christ. Keep Him forefront in your life, and He will lead you to eternal glory and forgive you of all of your sins in Jesus' name.